The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, give me an amen.
Amen.
Say amen like you believe it now.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All
right. Welcome to this school of prayer again. We are taking studying some things along the line of faith, talking about the prayer of faith. Before we continue today's teaching, let's take our declaration of understanding as our usual habit. Amen?
Amen.
If you know it by heart, give me another amen.
Amen.
Those who don't know it by heart, can you just wave your hand and give you a piece of paper where it is printed? All right, let's take a declaration. One, two, let's go. Now I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right. The prayer of faith. Let's take two portions of the scriptures. Let's first read briefly, quickly from the book of James chapter 5, where we are getting our title from. The book of James chapter 5. What did James say in verse 13? He says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church. They are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith, or King James will say, the prayer of faith, literally, that's actually the literal Greek. The prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. It now says in verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Next few verses, he talked about Elijah, but I don't want us to read about that now, just to get where we got this expression, the prayer of faith, from. But that's exactly what he said in verse 15. He said, the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Just bear that in mind. That's what we have been looking at. Let me quickly read this portion of the scriptures before I start reminding us of some things we said last time, so that I don't get caught there and forget to get into the thing we want to say today. Quickly, let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel, chapter 36. There's a principle I want us to understand again, so that we don't forget. And that's what I want to read from here. Last time we said, what is faith? Well, let's start with prayers that are not of faith. I gave a few examples, right? We discussed it. You're copying what somebody else is doing, that's not faith. Is that okay? You are praying so as to impress people, that's not faith. And the Lord Jesus told us that. You see them make prayers in the open so that they can be praised by people. He said, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward already. That's not faith. If you are doing anything for the show of it, because this way somebody did it, sometimes some people just pray out of desperation. Now, the kind of desperation I'm talking about, there's nothing else to do, let's pray. Are you getting my point? That really is not a prayer of faith. Sometimes it can provoke faith. God can help and can lead the person to the prayer of faith because now he's desperate, and at that time he will listen to the Holy Spirit. But if he just, there's nothing else to do, let us pray, it's not a prayer of faith. If it's God, come and prove yourself, show that you are God, and you are saying it in such a manner like he owes you proof, it's not a prayer of faith. Okay? There are times, now that is different from when Elijah wants him to prove to the other people. He didn't have any doubt. After all, it was by the power of that same God that he shut the heavens for over 3 years. He didn't have any doubt. So that's a different matter. But when somebody say, God should do this and give, forgive me, I'm laughing. You now give God time
If he doesn't do it by this so-and-so time, you will do this one. Let me assure you, he's going to do nothing. People have been asked before, when they see God finally, maybe judgment day, and God says, why didn't you believe in me? They say, there's not enough proof. I can tell you what God will say. Now, first, you don't have time to have any conversation with such idiotic minds. I hope you get my point. It doesn't. But if he were to have that conversation, he would say, now I'm going to send you to hellfire because you're a liar. He said there was no proof, so he didn't believe. I'm telling you, it's a lie. The proof abounds. It abounds. There are too many things that should at least make you question. So if he said not enough evidence. There's one famous atheist that said that actually. When I heard it, I just laughed. I said, who do you want to tell that? But God won't have such a conversation with anybody anyway. But if he were to, he say, look, forget it. Where I'm going is that you can't dare God. Please let me say it again. Some people don't know, especially some young people. You can't threaten him. Faith is the safest thing. Did you hear what I said? Please say it with me. Faith is the safest thing. He has more power than you have. Like I said, God, do it by this and or else. God said, or else what? You go and call the police that can arrest me. You don't dare him. You want him to do something for you. Otherwise, what will you do? Even if you say you want to go and start killing people, it's people you will kill, not God. And that was what Elihu said to Job. He said, Job, you did good. Fine. He said, who did that benefit? He said, anybody that benefited must be a mortal man like you. You gave out food, so God ate it. You showed kindness to the poor. God told you he was poor. It's okay, you want to do wickedly. So you turn around and start wickedness. God said, look, the only person you will injure is a human being like yourself. Let me say it again. Nobody should try to think about threatening him. You don't threaten him. I've told God he has to do this by June. God said, or else. I mean, like, what will happen? I don't do it by June. Okay, I choose to do it in September. Or I won't do it at all. So what are you going to do? Come and beat me. Like you say, I'm in my house. Come and beat me. Again, let me say it. If you sin against yourself. It can create 10 people to replace you overnight. And decide doesn't want to remember you again. He's so powerful, he can make you regret your sin every minute for the rest of eternity. If that's what he wants to do. Please, I feel like I should tell some young people. This is somebody you can't threaten. You can't threaten him. There's nothing you can do to him. Nothing. There's one young man I heard of. He said he will commit suicide. And he finally did. To spite his mother. You want to know who died? Him. He said he knew that his death would pain his mother. But after he died, people went and consoled the woman. After a while, she was consoled. You know what? He was permanently dead. I'm telling you a real story. Unless if I die, no say go pay you. You don't understand. God that gave me life, if he decides to heal me, he will turn your death to the launch of a ministry. That is, I'll be thanking God you died. That's a human being. How much more God? Please, brethren, tell everybody around, you can't threaten God. If you decide you walk in sin, he says, you are the one that will go to hell, not me. I'm saying, because these are things people have done. I say it again. You're coming to church. You're hearing his word. You're obeying righteousness. It's not for his sake. It's not at all. You know, I was teaching my wife a few days ago that there are times, you know, this is, now, if you want to measure me and God, you know, there's no comparison. Are you getting my point? But it's an attitude I just want to show. I've had experience in previous times. I've seen it with people, but for me, I never really had that experience personally. I didn't display that trait, thinking I'm going to church to please anybody. It's the reason why till today, I find it very hard to follow people up. What they do follow up? Now, please, I'm not saying follow up is bad. I'm just saying that it's been very hard for me to fall into that, especially because I have seen many people follow people up and they got frustrated. Once a minister, this guy is a minister, young guy, many years ago, He came to town. He said whether he could stay with me for like 2 nights. I said, fine. So in the evening, we're gisting one day. I think his phone rang and he talked to somebody or chatted. And that turned to me that I should see what is going on. That there's a young woman he's following up back in Nsukka. So the young woman asked him, she wanted to make her hair. The easiest way to make your hair if you don't have money is go to the male barber. You know what they call male barber? Those guys that will cut a very nice tie for you for $750. You won't need Brazilian hair again for the rest of the... You won't need anything. You won't... So the young lady said she needed her hair done. The guy's like, excuse me, I don't have money. Now follow up what they do. Then she sent him a message, which I think that's the one he showed to me. That's what he was not telling me about. He said, you told me to leave my boyfriend and you're not there for me. Over here. You know, that day I felt both bad and good. I felt bad that I was not the one that had the phone. I felt good that I was not the one that had the phone. So which side? I felt bad because I wanted to answer for him. I felt good that, thank God, let me not go and send somebody to hellfire who probably is not going to get there without. Because I was going to, if I was the one, I was going to say, please, ma, go back to your boyfriends and go to hell with them. That'll be my one-liner. And if you call me again, I will ask the fire of God to roast the hair on your head. And if I will remember that our proverb, I hope we are learning proverbs that have been harassing you. He said, we are trying to deliver the small chick from certain death. He said, they won't allow me to go to the open field to go and play. We see the hawk going around. Because you're a chick, you can't see anything more than the corn you want to pick on the ground. I have never had that problem. That you are going to church to please somebody. No, no. That day, I still remember that I looked at him like, sir, let me help you reply this message. Just one line. Please go back to your boyfriends and together, all of you should go to hell. And if you call this line again, fire will burn the little hair on your head. Nonsense. Repent of sin. You're doing me a favor. And now be sustaining your lifestyle so that you won't go back to sin. You have not really repented. A repentant person is full of sorrow. Yeah. You don't go around threatening anybody. Such a person, they should use you for money sacrifice. This man is a pastor. You are very wicked. It's not me. It's not wickedness. Look at somebody is treating God. They say Jesus died for your sin. He said, if you don't give me money for my hair, I will go back to my boyfriends. That one will pray for you. You fall into the hand of a cult member. They won't even kill you. Just harvest one kidney and one eye. To remind you the rest of your life that serving Jesus is the best thing to do. And John, don't you agree with me? I know you are too merciful, so you agree with me? No, that we should deliver one kidney, one eye. He agreed. Did you hear that? I think I have corrupted this guy. He agreed. I'm having too much influence on you, don't you think? Now that's a human being. Somebody said that people have done it. As if they are coming to hear me teach, as if they are doing me a favor. One woman, I just had to, you know, courtesy. Hey, madam, long time, how have you been? This, I said, she used to come for Kingdom once in a while. Not much, really. I remembered her simply because we work in the same institution, you understand? So one day something brought us together again. So just gist. And I said that along the line, I said, when do we meet? I said, 7:30 in the morning on Saturday. She said, she burst into laughter. 7:30. Do you give breakfast? I said, no, lunch and dinner. If you can stay long enough, you will eat the 3 square meals. Do you know when Catholics go for mass? Actually told me that because my congregation are young. He called you young. I'm not saying you're old, but think about it. Yeah. I look at the woman and say, I think you don't have manners. You come for meeting once, come and see people who are old enough to make you kneel down. Because you are too big to get up at 7:30 in the morning. Things that Catholics do every... Muslims wake up at 5 a.m. You wonder why God just looks at people and say, this is my blessing. I go, hold on. No, I go, hold on. That day when she told me like that, I looked at this woman. Of course, you know, that will be the very last time. Even if I see you at a wedding party tomorrow. How are you doing? How are you? God bless you. I go my way. I said, no, not only breakfast. We give lunch, And we give dinner. If you can stay long enough, we'll feed you, we'll fatten you very well. Because you are coming there to come and do me a favor. Father, I want to thank you because my thunder has retired. But that is good. That's me, a human being. You can't threaten me. How much more, God? Please. It's not a prayer of faith when you dare God to do something to prove that he is God. Say, no, I don't owe you any proof. I've done enough. Please don't think much about your heart, too. Because me, with all the knowledge I have, I don't like thinking about it. I say, so this thing, if you don't beat for 5 minutes, what happens to me? I need God. I'm not telling God to prove himself. Somebody who has kept this heart beating. Abba. Like we say, you say, check him now. Is it good? You are asleep and still breathing. You know, for you to be to do most things, you have to be awake. But you are asleep and you are still breathing. And God should come and prove that he is God. Because there's no problem. Explain your breath. Just like saying that again. It is not a prayer of faith if you think you can dare God. It's not. There are times people have said, do this and challenge God. What is challenging it? Usually those who want us to give offerings that tell us things like that. Challenge God. Challenge God to do what now? If you give this money, you challenge God to do something. Because listen, I don't accept your challenge. I accept your obedience. If you find it to be the true word of God, obey it. And don't draw any red lines for me or draw any lines for me for what? Let's get it clear. I'm not your mate, though. I'm still the sovereign God. You know what that means? I set the rules. Now, God didn't say this. I'm the one that want to say it, okay? You're just lucky I love you. Now, he didn't say it. Please, so I'm just trying to... You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. But think about it like that. You just be glad. Don't come and make any threats. Please, I'm just doing a little bit of recapitulation there, okay? All right, so let's continue today. So what's a prayer of faith? We began the last time. Faith is that, is a spiritual substance. Faith is also obedience to the word of God. Now, when I say faith being a spiritual substance, if God doesn't grant it to you, you can't hear him, you can't understand him, you can't obey him. But if, for whatever reason, if he sees in your heart, it's not perfect, but just imagine it and just accept it. If I see that you qualify to receive that spirit of faith from me, I give you that spirit of faith, then you will hear the word from me, then you will understand the word from me, and then you'll be able to obey what I'm saying to you. I hope you're getting my point. Because there are people who it says, for certain reasons, this one, I will make sure you never hear. I will make sure you never understand. And for that reason, you will never obey. For that reason, you will die in your sins. Yes. He said it to many people. Before I used to wonder, why would God punish Pharaoh when he's the one that accepted the responsibility of having hardened his heart? When I was older, you know, God is always just. It's we that's lacking in understanding. God said, no, Banky, listen. That Pharaoh deserved to die years before. He had crossed the point of repentance. I gave him a certain number of times, and everybody has a certain number of times that he gives. I gave him the number of opportunities until he sealed it off with disobedience. After that, I only kept him alive for what I was using for. You know, I found that out. Paul was the one explaining. He said, these are vessels of wrath, who God endured in his forbearance. That's what he did. He says, a vessel of wrath. God said, I should have killed this one long ago. He said, but let me keep him alive because there's something I want to do through him. So he said, for this cause, I raised you up that I might show my glory, my power through you. See, there was nothing he wanted to say or do. That Pharaoh was going to die in sin. There was nothing he wanted to say, all right, or you could say or do. That Pharaoh would never believe. Same thing with Judas. Many people don't know that. Once Judas accepted the call to ministry, his destiny was sealed. God didn't call a man who could repent to come and follow him for 3.5 years and then betray Jesus Christ. No. Judas had done, you see that betrayal of Jesus? He had done it to his father. He had done it to his mother. He had done it to his brothers. He had done it to his friends. He had done things that were deserving of death. Because they leave him. Then he saw Jesus one day say, man, or more. See ministry. We can make it. Market, thank you. See market. He joined. Jesus said, come. He said, I chose you 12. One of you is a devil. Did you hear that? That by the time I was choosing you, I knew it was the devil I was choosing. I knew it was the devil. That guy had betrayed everybody, betrayable. In fact, there are those who were looking at Jesus with suspicion. That you mean Judas is following? Judas is still owing me money. He's following you. There are those that met Judas. Now, this is not in the Bible. I'm making it up, just trying to make my point. There are those who met Judas. I said, if you don't pay me, I will report you to your master. Judas said, wait. After tomorrow's service, come. I will pay you. Because it's been like, if they report me, I will be sacked. And there will be nothing again. So after they finish one service, the guy's waiting outside. Yeah, Judas, pay my money. Judas, look, count some coins for him. Say, what is this? Yeah, owe me 300 denarii. What did you bring like this? I beg, wait. Now, okay, next week. The guy was stealing to pay people he had betrayed. And they'll be looking at Jesus with pity. And they'll notice that Judas is completing the house in the village. And they know where the money is coming from. What they did not know was that Jesus too knew. Yeah, he knew. And he said, look, the work we have for this man, nobody else will do it in righteousness. And God will be righteous. No, leave it. So he said to them, I chose you 12. One of you is the devil. I'm aware. Where am I going out of this? The spirit of faith was denied him. There was nothing he could do to receive that spirit. So God gives us the spirit of faith. That's the point I'm making. And what does that do? It helps us hear his word, believe or understand the word, and obey the instructions. That's the spirit of faith. So without the word coming, there's no faith. Without the word being obeyed, there's no demonstration of faith. The vitality of faith is that you are obeying the word. You know, when the Lord gave me this understanding, I now read that Hebrews chapter 11 again. I now understood that there was nobody there. You hear that by faith, he did this, that didn't hear something. You know, we misrepresented faith to ourselves as if faith means that I know how to close my eyes and determine what I want to get from God, and he must do it. And we give testimonies like, I painted a car on the wall, and I was looking at it, and I kept on looking at it, and I looked at it until it manifested. That's not faith. Hindus can do that. Let me warn many of us. It's God's results does not mean it is faith. By faith, the rod of Moses became a serpent. True or false? Answer me, true or false? By faith, the rods of the magicians became serpents. No, it's not true. It's correct. It's not true. He said, no, sir. Did it become a serpent? Yes. Was it by faith?
No.
By magic, thank you. By faith, Moses did it. By magic, they did it. Sometimes people come and give testimonies of magic and call it faith. If you painted a picture of a car on the wall and stared at it long enough till it came out of the wall and began to drive around the street, brethren, that's not faith. That's magic. Magic works. At least you saw it in the Bible. Is it Jannes and Jambres, all those people, the magicians of Egypt? Three times they matched faith with magic. And faith looked as if we are just warming up. Many people are just testifying of magic. And they think it's faith. There are ministries built on magic. And people think it's faith. I actually saw one man, literally, you know, a lot of our brethren from Nigeria and East Africa, they learned a lot of bad things. He was jumping in church, said, you want to see miracle money? You will see miracle money. He brought it back, turned it upside down. I said, this is American God talent now. This is America. This is what they call AGT. America God talent. The guy was in the church. They were shouting miracle money. I said, I love you, all right. Pastors do it. There's one funny one. I don't know whether it's Holy Spirit. Let me not blaspheme. No, it doesn't sound like Holy Spirit. Thinking about it. You come to a meeting. Say, now, time for miracle money. Just be getting mysterious alerts on your phone. You'll be screaming. I shall not say further than that. Let's be careful, brethren, that we're not testifying about magic. A lot of our faith testimonies, supposed faith testimonies, are nothing but Egyptian magic. I saw a book once. Now, I've forgotten the title, but I picked the book because I thought it was a Christian book. And when I started reading it, it sounded Christian, or it's this sound when you're reading. How does it, what's the proper word? The verb. It looked Christian, right? The words looked Christian, all right? But it was giving me the Christian feel. After a while, I looked for Jesus in this book. Like, he forgot to enter the book. I looked for God. He wasn't there. I realized it was a power of human soul. It's a power of imagination. The ability to conceive and see it and see testimony. Now, they may have been lies, but these testimonies, if they are true, they were powerful. The man counseled one woman. The woman said she wanted to get married. Told her how to see it. How to see it. How to. So the woman began. After some time, the time passed and she wasn't married. So she went back to this, I don't know whether it's a guru or preacher. The preacher said, are you really seeing it? She said, yes. Say, how many people do you make breakfast for? Say, one. Say, you're not seeing it. How can you make breakfast for one person when you want to get married? Make the bed for two. The pillow must be complete. Sleep on one side. He's coming to the other side. Breakfast. Make breakfast for two. Arrange everything. Decide again. And in 3 months, she was married. It works. It's magic. What do I call it? Magic. It's Egyptian magic. It's not faith. A lot of us teach magic. We call it faith. We think faith is the how to get. Let me tell you how you will not miss faith. If you want to know what faith is, faith is how to obey God. That's the fundamental thing about faith. Faith is how to obey God, not how to get. I'm trying to remember the name of the book now. It escaped me. Finally, I threw the book away. I said, this book is not Christian. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, not through the power of our souls, not the ability to conceive things. It's through whom? Through God. You need to know him. Faith is that you heard his word. Faith is that you heard his word. Different ways. Faith is provoked by the entrance of the Spirit, which comes when you are hearing the word. That's why, listen, the word comes in different ways. Let me just go over that again briefly. Now, I'm not talking about different aspects of the word of God. That's a different discussion. Of course, let's just mention that briefly. There's promises. There are precepts, there are commandments, there are ordinances, and there are testimonies. So we have 5 aspects of the word of God, all right? But that's not what I'm talking about. How does the word come? Because I say you need to hear the word if it is faith. The word comes as prophetic words. Thus says the Lord. That's one way it comes. Sometimes it comes as stories. Very important. Sometimes, you know, like in the house, we're reading 2 Samuel. And I'm looking at it, it's just stories. And Absalom did this, and Absalom did that, and what's the name? Abishai did this one, and Joab did that, and David said this, and what's the name? Ahithophel did this one, and Hushai came and said this, and then what's the name of that girl that David collected from him? Bathsheba. And that Bathsheba came to the palace and said, Oga, it don't happen. No. And then Oga said, what are we going to do? Now, these are stories. But you know what? In the midst of it, the word is coming. In the midst of it, the word is coming. And Cain did this one and refused to listen. And God told Cain this. And Abel did this. And Cain went and attacked Abel. And Abel died. And Abel's blood is still speaking. Stories. But you know, in the midst of it, the Holy Spirit is coming into you with the word of God. It's coming into you with the Spirit. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
So you need to. So you see that woman, the woman with the issue of blood. You know what? That's what I'm referring to this. The Bible says she heard stories about Jesus. That's what I wanted to get to. Okay, another way the word comes, let me just mention so that then I will continue, is songs, poetry, the book of Psalms, songs of Solomon, songs and poetry. The word comes like that. Okay? So let's leave that. Let's not. This woman heard about Jesus. She heard stories. She would just sit down and say, have you heard about what? Jesus of Nazareth. Last time he went to the pool of Siloam. Do you remember Mr. What's his name? Oh, what's the name of that? Dan. Give me another name. Dan Joshua. Yes. You know, that man has been sick for so many years. He used to stay in that place. Last, see, that's him going. See the man going, this is the day. He's now where? He's where? What happened? We heard that Jesus went and touched him and said, do you want to be made whole? And started telling him a long story. He said, okay, enough of stories. Take up your bed and walk. And it was on the Sabbath day. In fact, when he carried his bed, the Pharisees stopped him. Why are you carrying it on the Sabbath day? He said, Abba, the person who said I should get up and walk, I won't obey him to carry the bed? Who is the person? I don't know him. Oh. Then later I now found him. Do you know it was because of his sin that he fell sick? How do you know? Jesus told him, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. And the woman just overhearing people talk. The other story. Hey, there was one boy. He used to have serious epileptic fits. You know that one that used to walk around? What is his name again? John, that young boy. He couldn't cast out the demon. He and the other guy, Matthew, they were shouting. The demon didn't answer them. Until the master came. And I even heard that the man said to the master, if you can do anything. And the Lord was provoked. That how can you say, if I can do anything? It's only if you can believe. The woman said, believe? To believe all these stories? I believe them now. I know all these people. Then she came to a conclusion. If I may but touch the hem of his garment. It was not an idea. It was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Faith does not come by your own conjuring. It doesn't. But when she kept on hearing, because the Bible says when she heard of Jesus, that's what I'm telling all of you. Now, it might sound like a joke, but that's really what happened. They kept on telling her about Jesus. And she was able to receive the spirit of faith. This is my conviction. And in fact, I don't think you can argue over it, but you don't have to accept it. She had been baptized by John. Having been baptized by John, her heart was open. So as she was hearing about Jesus, the spirit of faith was jumping on those words. Stories. I'm talking about stories. You know, when my children were small, they're all big now. All of them. I think I should have more children because... If I tell you the stories of all these children, very interesting stories, all of them. When this big man was a little boy, initially his mother used to tell him silly stories, and he would laugh. It was like two, you know, three. I still remember the story of Tolo Tolo and Kaji Kaji, two people that don't exist anywhere. Then one day, my wife went for a meeting, and they were discussing children and raising children and the Word of God. And she called herself to order. She said, what have I been doing? Wasting time. Of course, the boy was happy to hear about Tolo Tolo. And Tolo Tolo ran. And Tolo Tolo went across the river. And he will laugh and laugh until he stops laughing. He has slept off. And the mother will keep him there. He has slept. Then she changed it and said, no. This time around, there are enough stories in the Bible. So she turned it. Little boy said, no, you will hear about David. There was one guy, one boy, he was small like this. And he had a big enemy called Goliath. Then he would laugh. And David took a stone and rolled it. And he would still laugh and be blessed. And the Spirit will see something to ride upon. The Holy Spirit would never ride upon Tolo Tolo. Like, I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit does not move on Tolo Tolo. No, for what? That's why there's one of all the things that Jehovah Witnesses contributed to this life. My book of Bible stories. They should get the Nobel Peace Prize for that. That book has been there since we were children. Some years ago, I bought it again. I bought a number of copies and dumped it in my home when my kids were 6 months. Everybody, be reading my book of Bible stories. Do you know why? Because faith rides upon stories to enter into the heart. It was not theological treatise that the woman with the issue of blood used to learn about faith. She just heard of Jesus. She heard how he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. After hearing that story or those stories again and again, the Holy Spirit entered her. She thought it was her thought. But actually, because of those stories, the Spirit said, if only you can touch the hem of his garment. And she thought to herself, that's what the Bible says, if I may but touch the hem of his garment. So when she was touching, she was obeying. I hope you got all this I said. Yes, So you can see, it was not her imagination. It's the word of God that came by the stories she heard to a heart that had been prepared by John the Baptist, that the spirit of faith entered into her. And then, you know, I said, you are not believing unless what? You're obeying something. So when you say you are believing God, what are you obeying? What is the obedience of faith? Faith always commands obedience. There will be something that before I began to believe, I was not doing. Now that I am believing, I've started doing that thing. It doesn't have to be directly related to the results that you think you're looking for or the thing that God wants to do in your life. It can look like the example I gave you that day. You want to start a business, you have a strong feeling in your heart, this is what God wants to do for me in this life. This is where I'm going to go. Some people say, go and borrow money, go to business school, do this one, do that one, look how to invest, apply for loan, apply for grant. Then you read your Bible. And Jesus tells his story and the prophetic word, two of them going together. He says, there was a servant. How do you describe him again? A manager, yes. Who was reported to have been mishandling his master's, you know, wealth. He said, come and give me account. You will no longer be steward. And then he said, now, for time's sake, let me not go through it. I can't dig, I can't beg. What will I do now to make sure I'm okay? He now began to lie, you know, to cheat further. And Jesus now said, listen, that is not how to do it if you're a believer. These are people of the world. That's how they do it. They are very shrewd in their own affairs. Except that the children of light, they are not as dedicated to their own things as these children of the dark of darkness, these people of the world. So what am I saying to you? He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. So there's a story. Now there's a prophetic commandment. Two of them going together. He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. He that is faithful in money. He said, that's the last one I want to get to. That about money, if you can't handle money. Yes, who will commit true riches to you? That the third, which I want to emphasize, is he said, if you have not been faithful in that which belongs to another person, who will give you your own? Three things. And I've taught that again and again. Those are the three keys to financial prosperity for Christians. Number one, faithfulness in little. I posted one again the other day. The principles of abundance. You know, stories. Read stories, though. The word comes from stories. When Jesus multiplied fish to feed 5,000, what did he say? The Bible said he looked up. If you read the account in Luke, he looked up. That's number one. Number two, he gave thanks or he blessed the food by giving thanks. Number three, he told people to sit down in groups. Number four, he began to break the bread. And then rather than that one to eat, he said, gather up the remnants, let nothing be wasted. So these are the principles. Number one, look up, look away from your problems. Look up, stop looking at your account. Look up, look to God. First principle. Second principle, give thanks for the little you have. Five loaves, two fish, there were not plenty, but he gave thanks. He gave thanks. So one, don't keep your eyes on the job that is where you are getting money from. Don't keep your eyes on the connections. Don't keep your eyes on those things. Keep your eyes on God. Number two, give the Lord thanks for the little you have. Give your thanks, the Lord thanks for the little you have. Then number three, he said people should sit down in groups. So I said number three principle, put your life in order. Do you know? This other thing, you know, I keep saying it. Please, can I digress for a moment? You know, you've been helping me. Tell me where I was. Principles of abundance. Good. This other thing is very important. I said many places you think are prosperous in this world. You know how they make, why they are rich? They have order in the society. The rest of us see the order and perceive it as prosperity. So we rush there. And when we go there, we carry our goods with us. Increase their wealth. And we don't know that. No, they didn't have money. We brought money. And there are two kinds of money that you bring. Literal money, you buy forex, you do it to go there. Secondly, human capital. Nigeria will have educated you, made you a professional, free of charge on the bill of the federal government. Federal government will pay. Then you will abuse the government. Abuse them. They are not doing anything. Why have they not rescued those children till now? What nonsense are they doing? They're just there lying down, sleeping. Let me go to where there's order. So even though you went to University of Nigeria, got a degree in engineering, paying an equivalent of $100 a year in fees, after 5 years, federal government, for information, did not pay $500 for those 5 years. Mm-hmm. They paid good money. They paid the lecturers. They paid money. They give that education. Then you carry all their money 5 years. You go to that country and say, hey, I've left that country for them. The only thing they used to attract you? Order. And you said, you know, when you get there, you don't break their traffic rules. You know, when I went to my friend's house, he lived in the U.S. one day, the kind of order in his neighborhood, I was shocked. My wife was with me, so she wanted to pack her bag. So she had to clean the bag. So it was a bit wet. So she put it outside just to sun a bit. At that point in time, we drove in. Me and him went somewhere. He saw the bags. Okay, he thought somebody else put them there. Make a long story short, as soon as he came in, who wants those bags? He said, please bring them in. I said, what's the problem? He said, the neighborhood. You are defacing the street. Two traveling bags that we want to load now because we are coming back to Nigeria. I said, what? He said, no. That beauty of his frontal, the front side of his house, is a law in their neighborhood. The neighborhood association will write it to repaint your house. For me, it was the first time in Enugu. If I like, I hang rag on my fence. Who can talk? Even the governor will think twice before he talks about the rag. It's my rag. It's my fence. It's my house. What are you talking about? And that's how they are. The neighbors, they are very powerful. So one day, because he was very busy, he had not mowed his lawn, you know, trimmed his the hedge and all of those things. Next thing, they wrote him a letter. Being a Nigerian guy now, my friend, all of you should get away. After some time, a follow-up letter came. His wife called and said, Oga, they will eject you from your own house. So he got somebody to come and clear everything before the neighborhood will eject him from his own house. And they have the right to. Yeah, they just drag you to court. And their logic is very easy. It's very simple. Their logic, if you're angry with them, say, you bought a house here because it's fine. Why do you want to dig? Because for them, you know, just by the way, for those who just want to understand, for those people, their house is their wealth. It's part of their wealth. So if the street is not fine, the value of the property on the street goes down. So by not taking care of your environment, you're affecting their own wealth. I'm talking about order. That is why we take all the investments of federal government in us and carry it to those places. So just having order in your life has increased your wealth. I know what I'm telling you. That is, I'm not saying that it will bring you money. I mean, that one itself is what? It's wealth. Your house that you are living in now, that you are complaining every day, is too small, it's too small, it's too small. God says, wait, go inside there, arrange it. Throw away junk. You bought this television 2 years ago. What are you doing using the carton for? You want to resell it. Some of you bought AC, the foam of the AC. You know the styrofoam is still there. It's at the back of the house. That's why the house is small. They are clothes you don't wear anymore. What are they doing? They say they are still useful. I'm not saying they are not useful, but they are not useful for somebody else, not you. Do you know, if you pass through that house and arrange it one day, you'll come back and wonder, why did I say this house was small? Sometimes just arranging it properly. Forget even the physical space. The perception of space. God said, just put a mirror there. You put a mirror there, in your brain, the room doubles in size. Yes? Meanwhile, you've removed the clutter. And suddenly your prayer point changes from, Lord, I need a bigger house. You just forget. Look, all you've done is to arrange the one you have. Some people need clothes. You know why they need extra clothes? The ones they have, they don't wash it regularly. Yeah, it sounds funny. The ones they have, they don't wash them regularly. So anytime they want to go out, there's nothing to wear. God says, I ain't giving you anything. Because inside that basket, God says, go and wash those clothes. Small aside again, you know where we were? Many times God keeps them on one spot so that we can learn the lesson of that spot. He said, if I give you too much money, now you'll be wearing one shirt That is, at a time, once you finish wearing it, you throw it away. You will never, that is, dry cleaner will not see you, laundryman will not see you, your own laundry room will not see you. Because I gave you money. You'll not be preaching about it. Praise God. I only wear my shirt once. It's not pride, it's not a wealth, it's laziness. But young people who don't know now, they will not be using it as an example. Me, how can I wear a shirt two times? I don't have time for dry cleaners. I don't have time for laundry people. The Lord has so prospered me. I wear Egyptian cotton only once. Each time you go out, you are blowing 15K for a shirt. Yeah, now you can afford it. But small, small boys in university now think that is prosperity. They don't know a guy is lazy. He's disorganized. When he was our age, he couldn't wash. I had a classmate in secondary school. He can use a bed sheet for 2 months. If you sit on his bed sheet, it will stick. Not kidding. It's going to stick to your body. I think one day, his friends gathered. Said, this, you know, all of us must wash it today. Order in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get back to what we're saying. Stories. Just, you read that portion of the Bible. Jesus said, put order. Have the people sit in groups. Arrange things properly. Then next, he said, the Bible says he began to break the bread. What does that mean? Solve one problem at a time. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You've not been able to pay your landlord regularly for 3 years now, and you are pricing land when they are selling it. What is wrong with you? You are pricing land. You've not been able to pay this landlord in this two-bedroom flat conveniently, and they say they are selling land. It's not expensive. It's only 15 million. Meanwhile, your landlord is charging you 400K. You've not been able to pay him well. And then you are going there and say, what is the size exactly? My friend, will you get out? Are they talking to you? It's for those who their landlords love. If it's a landlord that will call you, say, oh, but you know, go buy because you are his friend. He has become your friend. But you are, come on. Solve problems one at a time. It's with divine wisdom. That's how Jesus didn't just do. That's magic. He broke, gave to them. He kept on breaking. You'll be amazed as how far your money, your resources will go if you just take things one at a time. One at a time. Now, this is not part of the principles, but let me just drop it in. And please don't let pride spoil up these things where I say, while you're trying to solve a problem at a time, your friend now decided that it's her best day or her wedding or her grandfather's burial, whatever it is, there should be, is competing with your house rent in price. And that fellow is still your friend. They say, this is beautiful. It's not beautiful. How can it be beautiful? When you start looking at it, you start eating it. Is that not what happened to Eve? She looked at it, they said it was beautiful. Next thing, don't enter mouth. When they show you the material, show you everything, say, how much is it? When they tell you everything, the whole thing is about 220. You just drop it like this, bam, as if it's hot. Say, Ada, what did you say? 220. Hey, did I not tell you I've not finished pay? Give it to her straight. Ah, what's the color? I will follow the color code. Thank you. I'm not buying. See, Ada is not sin. It is you that saying it is beautiful that's committing. Don't be ashamed. Say, what that day when we reach there, I can't wear, but I wear the color. When they say the color is fuchsia, go and find fuchsia that's 2.5. Everybody's wearing fuchsia of 250K. Your own is fuchsia of 2005. And if you don't have fuchsia of 2005, wear white. White is a neutral color. When you wear white, tie fuchsia gele, which you borrowed from your neighbor. There's nothing. See, do you know, when I was getting married, I told my wife and her friends that time, I said, this wedding gown that people are spending all this money on, why don't we rent it? How can you wear it? The women gathered the International Liberation League to come and lynch me. Not exactly, but the reaction. Because, you know, that time a lot of us were getting married. I wedded a week away from one of my friends and 3 months away from that. And that, you know, that's how it was. So we're all bride, groom, circle, you know, that kind of thing. Now, if you hear somebody made her own wedding gown, I say, why did she rent? You know, it's not a strange thing. When I got married, no, nothing like that. Nothing like that. Each person had to make their wedding gown one by one. And when I suggested otherwise, I was the devil. I said, no, that's why he's black like this. They think bad things. Look, if human beings can't disturb you in this life, if you know the kind of peace God has given you already, just tell them, say, sorry, I can't. And look, I can't. And please don't pretend. This pretense is the problem. So, no, I won't be able to come. Ah, that weekend I'm busy. You are not busy that weekend. You just can't pay for the Ashoebi. Stop telling lies. All liars will find their portion in hellfire. Tell them the truth. Ah, this your clothes is expensive. Oh. I can't pay for it. My priorities are plenty. I really, really wish I could, but I can't. Simple. When I was single that time, a young woman said, Brother Frankie, why can't you don't have a car? Say, I don't have money. What's wrong with you? Maybe you could be asking questions, want to be deceived. So a young woman asking for deception, say, just lie to me. Just lie, lie. Lie. Let me just... No, I won't lie for you. God forbid that. Why don't you have a car? I don't have money. The last shop where I went, I prospered for them. They didn't give me one. Leave it. The Lord is good. I said, solve problems one at a time. The Lord Jesus says, salvation unto the day is evil thereof. Eh? Solve the problems one at a time. And then next one, avoid waste. The Lord Jesus said, gather up the remnants. Let nothing be wasted. God doesn't like waste. Avoid waste. I was saying something, you know, time. In fact, my daughter and I were talking about it today. She was sitting with me in the office. She said, is your phone still on? I said, why? Were you trying to call me? She said, no, I thought you were working. I said, okay, you're right. I quickly put off the phone. Because I realized that likely, if you count the amount of time you spend staring at screen, answering messages that can wait till later. So this is when I want to work. I just filed a message to my wife. This is where I am, all right? If you need to reach me, call this person. I put off the phone. Do you know what? It saves time. It saves a lot of time. Even sometimes at night, as I did it yesterday, I just told my wife, it don't do. I put off the phone. I just put it off. Why? Because the reflex of looking at a message when you wake up during the night. I said, no, my time is always on. So if I want to read, I pick that one up. But the phone, I just deliberately put it off. 10 o'clock, go off. You, go off. I'll put you off in the put you on in the morning. A lot of us waste time. Some of you are still celebrating Arsenal till now. I still sit on your DP. After they've even beaten them, you are still celebrating them. I'm still angry, self. I know good Rangers did something. You people didn't celebrate. Very few of you knew that we were doing something in this country. You are still celebrating Arsenal till now, wasting WhatsApp update space. Waste is not good. What did I say? A lot of people are wasting time. That's what I'm making. You have assignment, you've left the house to your neighbor's compound at 11 p.m. to go and watch match. Let me not go there. Some people, they won't listen to me after that. They don't switch off this channel and I say, what is this man saying? That's why you're not making progress. But this one I'm making, avoid waste at all costs. Avoid waste. The fact that God has blessed you with money does not make you be wasting food anyhow. He doesn't like it. As a principle, he doesn't like it. The Lord doesn't like waste. Don't waste. All right? And last of all, again, we always end with thanksgiving. Do all of these things. You know, you will experience divine abundance in your life. And this comes from stories. All of these I've said, just from a story. Just reading the story of multiplication of bread and fish. Yet, you get revelation. The Holy Spirit, and listen to me, I said, it's not faith if they are not obeying something. So Holy Spirit just write upon your life. Next thing you know, wait, one, two things. God says, fix these ones. And from there, abundance will come. And sometimes, not from there, but because of those fixings you did in your life, which is what obedience of faith is, God sends abundance. The woman with the issue of blood, I was talking about her. She heard of Jesus. And faith rode upon the stories, which ends up being the word of God, into her heart. So it's not only when you hear commandments, thou shalt, thus says the Lord, I shall do this for you. That's not the only time faith enters the heart. That's the word coming as prophetic words, as commandments. It comes like that. That's one area. But sometimes just stories. Stories. So I'm saying that faith does not come except you hear. But there are different ways you hear. Different ways. Two nights ago. My wife and I just sat down. We're watching this man who does praise worship. You know, 35 minutes of worship, of praise, exhortation, confession. Different people singing. Sometimes somebody will just raise a line. I'll just shout. You see, heavy word. I don't know how many of you have heard this one. My daddy, something like that. Was it my daddy one? Yes. 35 minutes. It was just songs. We just sat in the cinema and watching it on television. And these guys worshipped for 35 minutes. At the point I left my wife there, because she just entered another level, praying and everything, just watching somebody sing songs. At the end of the day, I'm saying, you will hear something. Your songs, the songs you are playing, play Bible songs. Play spiritual songs. The word of God is delivered through songs. I'm telling you. It's delivered through songs. At the end of the day, it will trigger something in you. That's what faith is. There's no faith except you've heard something. That's what I'm making. There's no faith. So a prayer of faith, we said, is that which is triggered by the entrance of the word. That's what a prayer of faith is. Different ways it will come, but it is a prayer of faith when it is obeying what God said. It's a prayer of faith when it is fulfilling what God said. It's a prayer of faith when it is ignited by what God said. Not because I want to copy somebody. Many of the needs in our lives, if you understand this, they are needs. Now, this is Christianity I'm talking about. They are needs because God said they are needs. Did you hear what I said? For example, if it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Who will have thought joy, being joyful all the time, rejoice always? Again, I say to you, rejoice. It's a matter of righteousness. Some people think having a strong face. Where's your friend? Tell him, okay, he's not around today. Tell him I use him to preach. You know who I'm talking about? Just enter here, strong face. I say, boy, go back to that. I'm walking with a godly, righteous face. If a woman walks in here very badly dressed, you know what I'm saying? Exposing her, won't you raise eyebrow? But a man, I think, can come in frowning face. No, it's bad. It's worse. You bring evil spirits with you. Spirit of fight. It's true. Say, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. So, this is where I'm going. Do you know, were not for the word of God, we would not have known that was a need in our lives. Would have just said, I know me, I know the front, I don't like to smile. No, God said, look, you're attracting devils. I tell you, you don't like to smile. You don't know demons are looking for where to stay. When they are walking down the street, when they see a happy person obeying God, you know they come near your household. When you see an angry human being, they say, bro, where do you stay? You look at them, follow me. Of course, you don't have to say follow me, just continue frowning. They will follow you. You don't know how you behave? In fact, the referee said that. If I say this, it's going to make you laugh. Derek Prince said, if you like to dress poorly, you attract demons. Now, I'm not the one that said that, even though I believe it. So just dress anyhow. Just like I said, you don't wash your bed sheet for 3 months. Demons will come and sleep on that bed. There's no way they won't come and sleep on that. No matter how much singing you sing, only someone wants to come there. So wait. Is there water scarcity? So if you go and wash your bed sheet, if you've not read your Bible, in peace will I lay me down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes it dwell in safety. And you want to obey the scripture on this kind of dirty bedsheet? The reprisal is, I see. Look nice. At least basically nice. You know, straighten your clothes. Tuck in your shirt. Just look. He said, if you don't, demons will follow. I'm not the one that said it, though. It's the one that said, demons will follow you. Where I'm going is that some of these are character issues. They are prayer points only because the Lord said so. Others would have thought they were okay. What I'm going is that the word of God ignites prayers of all sorts. Like the example we gave the other time, the Lord Jesus told us, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest field. you probably would not have thought it was a prayer point. The thing I want to bring up today, let's quickly get there. That's how we should open somewhere. Ezekiel 36. Yes, we've not read it. We're going to read from verse 20. I gave us the verse, right? Yeah, from verse 22. It's a very long one. I'll read about 16 verses. But we're going to read to the end of the chapter. Now, why do I want to read it? Let me quickly say this. Before we read it, we're talking about prayer of faith. God has thought of everything. What did I say? God has a plan for everything. There is nothing. See, no matter how trivial you think, God thinks about it. It may look small. To me, one of his most striking testimonies, it looks like it's a very small one, but striking. I've shared it here a few times since it happened. I think it was last year it happened. Yeah, it was last year. It was last year, Lukaf. One of our sisters, something was stuck in her tooth or her gum. And she was looking for something to use to remove it. She was just thinking. He said, it's painful, but not that kind of pain, but it's distressing. That's the word. It's distressing. Just, he said it was so, she didn't know what to use. We're in a convention hall. And she was just thinking that at that point, it crossed her mind that if I say toilet brush, I will break a piece off, wash it, and use it to try and, yeah. The way she was thinking, because we have a tradition, all right? When you come, you bring gifts for people, all right? So while she was just thinking, my wife just tapped her. Among the things she brought were these toothpicks with floss, yeah. She just tapped her. Hey, sis, see what I brought for you? Just give her a pack. The lady looked at it and gave my wife a very big hug and said, God, is this how much you think of me? Say, God. So you even go down to, you prepare. This woman brought this from Enugu. Traveled 4 hours to get here for this convention. Maybe didn't even write her name, of course. Just, you know, things like that. Just have them plenty. Just giving out to people around. Just tapped her. She turned and gave her a pack. For me, it was very striking. It shows how God thinks of little, little things. I said my friend was traveling in the north. I think it was going between one of those northern roads. Those days, not now. And his tire went down. He said it was weak because he was participating in one long fast in their church. He was weak. Then suddenly, a Fulani man, it looked like, came out of the bush and spoke to him in English. Ah, what's the problem? Oh, okay, your tire is down. No problem now. And told him to enter the car and sit down. Said he asked him where the tire was, where the jack was, where this was. Nothing. It was a company car. My friend just sat inside the car. He said, yeah, two men. They came out of the bush out of nowhere. Next thing, they changed his tire for him. When they finished everything, they put his things back and told him it's done. He could go. He didn't think anything of it. So he took money they had with him, gave it to one of them. They collected from him. He has arranged himself, tried to shift the gear to move off. He just turned around to say bye-bye. Ah, he didn't see anybody. In his mind, where could he have disappeared to? He said to me, he said, Bank, you know how flat those places can be. I said, yes. He said, where would he have gone just now? But he didn't think anything of it until he got to Kano. And he saw his money on his seat. The day he was telling me the story here. He said, when I tell you, he said, I still get goose pimples. And he told me, he said, this is the first time I'm sharing with anybody. He sat in the car. He said, what just happened? What am I saying? God thinks of what? Everything. And he has thought of everything. Please, you know what I said? Prophetic words, commandments. That's one way by which the word of God comes. Stories. You know, the Bible is full of stories. Do you know the Bible, I think, is the only one. In fact, the sacred scriptures, you know, sacred writings of all religions in this world, the Bible is very unique. Because, first, it has all kinds of authors. The authors are so many. There are many authors. You know, it's not one person that wrote the Bible, humanly speaking now. Moses wrote his portion. David wrote. Paul sat down and wrote 2 thirds of the New Testament. Solomon wrote. Hezekiah wrote. The prophets wrote. Isaiah. Jeremiah. Disciples wrote. John. You know, all kinds of people just wrote. And the annoying part is that, let me say the annoying part. Some people say, so very interesting, but they wrote all kinds of funny things. Including bad things. A man who carried his concubine, and people in Benjamin came and raped the woman. And they cut the woman to pieces. When you are doing my book of Bible stories, you jump those portions. The Bible has stories there. All kinds. I know one thing beautiful about the Bible is that it doesn't try to paint anybody like an angel. One of the most beloved people in the Bible is David. He wrote the bad stories. Say this David, let's tell you the other side of David. Who's Solomon's mother? Is it because we don't want to talk? The Bible writes, no one telling all of this. Brethren, read these stories. It's enough to keep you entertained. These days of social media, there's this particular channel I subscribe to on YouTube. Their job is to help you sleep. They read the Bible to you. But I look at them, I said, I want to hear the Bible. He said, to help me sleep. They call it, I've got a rest in faith. Fall asleep to the words of Paul. Fall asleep to the words of Peter. And they will read 2 hours reading. Enough entertainment out there. Use it to fill your time. That's what I'm saying. You know why I'm saying all of these things? Because as you are reading these stories, please listen to me carefully. You start discovering what God said about your life. No, I'm not talking about general principles. The scripture will just get up and talk to you. Describe you for you. Before, we used to think that the Bible contained... No. The Bible, the scriptures, this is the pathway by which the Holy Spirit moves. Do you get my point? So, when you are engrossed in it, the Holy Spirit starts talking to you. Okay, you were born for this purpose. Suddenly, you know what you were born for. Suddenly, you know what you are doing wrong now. Suddenly, you know what you're supposed to do now. Do you know? The Holy Spirit will even tell you. You have a need. You didn't know you had a need. I don't know if you get the point. This is just motivating. Go and believe God for a huge amount of money. Go and believe God for a huge amount of money. Like for what now? I'm okay. I'm not looking for anything too great. Things are too wonderful for me. But this will just say, you just be nudging. So next thing you see television, people say, God is going to multiply resources to you. Okay, so, and God wants you to do is just say, amen. You say, okay, amen. The next thing, be fruitful, multiply. Fill the earth. It's coming to your head. Then you start believing. You start believing it. Then you get on your knees. You see, we're going to read in a moment. Now say, Father, in the name of Jesus, send abundant resources into my life. A simple prayer like that. God said, I was waiting for you to say something. Next day, job you've been doing that they will pay you 10K, 50K, 100K. Somebody will give you a job. In fact, there was one man was telling my wife a story that he used to be her customer in Enugu here. So he called her for something. Where you did? When the guy said he be there for a job, remember the story? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe he said that, okay, how much will you... I can't remember the details now, but just for illustration purposes, he said, okay, I'll bill them 5 million naira. He now sent to one of his relatives. So, friends, what do you think? The guy put the bill. The friend just looked and said, what is this? I can't remember the exact figures, okay? The friend said, no, adjust this thing now. These guys, they will pay you. You are looking... Almost double the amount of... Okay. We're talking million. She said 175 million naira. And before he finished telling them, they wired the money before he changes his mind. Somebody was expecting them to price it down. There are times things like that will happen. All right? I'm just using money as an illustration. Different things. There are people, young men, who are not planning to marry self. And young women, not only because men, women. And God said, next thing you go for a seminar. They're talking about second coming of Christ. Then preacher just turns and begins to talk about Adam and Eve. Say, I came for a second coming seminar. What is this man talking about Adam and Eve? Then he tells the story. You know, some of those Bible stories can be very boring. If you don't have a heart of faith, they will not tell you, Adam went. He checked the giraffe. It was not his mate. He's like, what is all of this? Adam checked the giraffe. It was not his mate. He checked the antelope. And he realized the antelope and him, they don't match each other at all. And then now God now said, I will make you a helpmate that is suited for you. God now put him to sleep. Have you ever been there before? He said, this story, sir, I've heard it told better than this. But that day you're hearing the story again. And suddenly, maybe before you were thinking, I don't have a big house. I'm just struggling in my business. The job I have is not a big one. Then suddenly that thing enters. And the man now say, they say, hey, all you young men in the house, prayer, kneel down now. And say, God, send me my rib. God. And you're like, what? I'm talking about how faith works. The prayer of faith. Next thing, you kneel down in obedience to the man. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, that rib you took from my side, I know you've done something with it. Return it, multiplied in abundance, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As about to get up, one usher just said, please, can you just come over to this side? You look at the usher. Oh, more. Four months later, you are dashing us wine, you are dashing us ground, you are saying that you are inviting us for wedding. 4 months later, you now say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. People think there's only one they discover a need. God meets it. Sometimes God will say, look, there's a problem I want to solve. You don't even know it's a problem. That's why I'm telling you, look, those of you who don't go to church, you don't go to fellowship, don't listen to messages, don't listen to Bible stories, you are just cheating yourself. You're just cheating yourself. You're just cheating yourself. There's one testimony I heard. This really happened. Now, like I'd like to show you how true it is. I'd like to explain that there's only one person between me and the man he happened to. That is, he told the story to a brother who told it to me. And that's close enough for it not to be twisted much. This guy said, as a young man, he got into wrong companies, led a riotous life. Until one day, the Holy Spirit convicted him. I don't know, he went for a meeting, gave his life to Christ, he repented of all his sins and all that, and he was not living life normally. Then he had a dream or something. And the Lord said to him, listen to what I'm talking about. That you have an injury I need to heal you of. He didn't know he was sick. And we're like, maybe he woke up. What was that? You have an injury I need to heal you of. And he heard that word. He didn't know what it meant. Until something made him go for HIV screening. He had HIV. But he had heard the word. You have an injury. I need to heal you of it. So what do I do? The Spirit came to him again. Go and get baptized. He went to look for whoever is doing baptism. He got to where they were baptized, somewhere in Lagos. He met a man, a pastor, who was waiting for his church members, and they did not come. He said, man of God, there's no problem. I've come for baptism. The man telling the story to somebody, he had nothing to, he wasn't trying to raise money. You know, nothing to gain from life. See, that's how he got baptized, though. Next time he went for screening, they said it's HIV negative. What I like the story was that he slept, had the dream that he just heard, you have an injury I need to take care of. The thing is, every time you bring problem, so that God has gone ahead of you. I'm talking about prayer of faith. Many of us think we can control our lives. God says, no, you can't. You can't. You can't. What is lacking? Let me be honest with you. What is lacking is faith. What is lacking is faith. People don't believe God. We claim we are Christians. We don't. We don't. You know, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? That is the thing that is lacking. And it's so important to understand how this faith comes. I said, it's when the word comes. That's how faith comes. That's why mingle with where the word is coming from. Today, I just felt like emphasize so much on those stories thing. Mingle with Bible stories. Don't get familiar with them. Like, I know this one. What do you know? If I change your version of the Bible, that's a very nice way to read the stories again. If you're one of those King James people, go and buy New Living Translation. You won't know it's the same book. You know what I'm saying is true? If you have been a King James person all your life, if you start reading New Living Translation, you won't know it's the same book. You won't know it's the same book. Those of you who read King James, the Lord bless you. Do you know I don't understand King James at all? That is, I get confused. You know what? You know, God has helped me in this life. When I was in university, when was I studying the scriptures? I went and took my father's King James Bible, brought it to school. Our brethren will come. What used to make me laugh, eh? I look back now, just very funny. They will read a bad English sentence in King James and then try to explain it. I said, why don't you just read it in correct English? They will try and explain it. So one day, I laid hold on Good News Bible. And guess what? It made sense. Every time I read something, I understood it. So I started reading Good News. I went to my brother in my room. He said, Banky is a small boy. Honestly. That's what he told. He started laughing at me that I read Good News. That small picking the warrior. You know, at that time, I told him, at least I understand it. Call me any name you like. I told him, I said, at least I understand. This one you are saying is for big men. I don't understand it. They're laughing at me. At least I read the Good News. I understood it. It stayed with me. I'm teaching it now. I just look back and I just laugh. I say, God. Because my desire was not to preach, was to understand it. I will read and read and read. It didn't make sense. I found one that made sense. They say, it's because I'm a small boy. I said, leave it like that. By the way, that's just by the way. What I'm saying is, look for every method to read this Bible. Read it again and again. If you have read it all this while in King James, go and buy NIV. Buy New Living Translation. Just so that you keep reading it. Because this word speaks to every aspect of your life. The word still becomes flesh. It will solve her. Just like I said, things you have not thought of. The word will congeal in that area and tell you, go and do this to solve this problem. There are problems that are supposed to come next year. The word is already preparing you to solve it now. Have you read about Ezekiel? Now let's read it. Now, there's something I want to bring out from here, which is why I said we should go there. Yeah, Ezekiel 36. It's a very long one. I may jump here and there. Please, I want you to understand how the word works. That's why I'm reading this. I'm talking about the prayer of what? Faith. What ignites prayer? I said God thinks of everything. And no matter what he has thought, what he has thought of, he wants your cooperation. So many times, he says something. He just wants you to ask about it. Why did he say it? Because until your will merges with his will is first. Do you hear what I said? Which one is first? His will. It's not your will. And that's one major problem we have had with faith. We think it's our will first. Then we'll find methods to persuade God to accept it. That is, I want to do something. I make my plans. They now go and I worship God until you approve it. I praise him because he's praise hungry. When you praise him and praise him and praise him, he loses control. And he'll approve any nonsense you bring. That's not how it works. One reason why answer is delayed is that it's taking God time to persuade you to come to his own side. Sometimes the more you pray, the more God has time to change you until you see his own perspective. The will of God is first, not your will. So what you are doing is aligning with his will. That's what I'm trying to say. He has thought of everything. So when you pray, actually, that's why John said, this is the confidence we have towards him. If we ask anything in accordance with his will. Sometimes people think that it means that you go and find out, they'll think you pray, God, if this is your will. No, that's not what it means. It means that you convert yourself until you think the way he thinks. You now discover what his will is. And then you pray, in accordance with that. Good example, all right? So when God expresses himself in prophecies, in promises, that's what he's just trying to do. He's giving you what he's thinking. Then you can now say, thy will, that thing that's your will, be done. Just now, Jonathan was leading us to pray about the children in captivity, remember? We know it is the will of God to let the captives go free. Jesus came to release the captives. So once you are a captive, you will go free. That's the will. But people are in captivity. God said, yes, I've told you my will. Now go and pray. Thy will be done. Do you get what I'm saying? That is now, I want that which is God's will to be done because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. Finish it for me. The earth he has given to us, we children of men. Which means we have authority. So when we are on this earth, we now say, will of God. This is the will of God. Heavenly Father, this is your will. Do it in Jesus' name. So that will can be, I'm broke. Because what is his will? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So I am broke. His will is, I shall not want. So I say concerning my broke situation, thy will be done. Father, supply my needs so that I do not want according to the will of God. So God gives us promises to serve as a template for desire, the template for faith. Sometimes you don't even think something is a problem. You just find it in the scriptures. Ah, so this is what God said. That means let's ask him to do it now. Now let's read. Now I've been trying to read it for some time. Let's read it now. Now that I've understood the principle. From verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where I sent you, where you went. I will vindicate, now listen to this, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. Sorry, please, I may jump a few lines because where I'm going is very far, all right? So save our reading time. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Now the nations will know that I am the Lord, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you, now this is what God was saying, verse 24. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. So to take you from all the nations and bring you to your own land is his will. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. For you to be cleansed, therefore, is his will. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. You know, Paul said it. This is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification. Can you see that? It's here. It's scripture. Moreover, I will place a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. A new spirit. That's what he's saying. Paul said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man. And you can see that here. He said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's his will. That's what he wants to do. That's his plan. And you'll be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave you. That I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moreover, that's verse 29 where I am now, I will save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it. Did you notice that? That I'm going to bless you materially. And I will not bring a famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, so that you will not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. I'm not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Verse 3. Thus says the Lord God, on that day I will cleanse you from all your iniquities. I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. Please bear these things in mind. I'm going somewhere. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passes by. They will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
What does God want to do? He said, where they call desolate around you now, he wants to turn it to a Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Verse 36. Then the nations that are left around about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Now, this is the key here, verse 37. Thus says the Lord, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock, like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Please, I like that verse 37. What did he say? Thus says the Lord. This also. What does also mean? There's something else. Do you follow that? This also. I will let them ask me to do. What does that tell you? All the other things he was saying that we've been looking at are things he's saying they will ask me to do. Did you catch it? As we're in those prophecies, God said, when you are going to pray, these are the things you will ask for. Also, you ask for this one too. So that's the mistake a lot of us make. He has made a prophecy. He has made a promise. He said, no, bring it to prayer. Your prayer point, now that's why I said everything I said earlier, that God thinks of everything. Your prayer points, he has thought about them. I don't know whether you're getting my point. See, you read your Bible, he will give you prayer points. I like the testimony Ken Hagin gave us. He gave up to die. This is very important. As a young boy, he knew he would die. He resigned that I will die. Dying, I shall die. And then one, the Holy Spirit just whispered to him, you know you don't have to die. What do you mean I don't have to die? And he knew that the answer was in the book. So he took a Bible. They gave him a Bible. He could hardly read, but he forced himself to read. He felt he didn't have much time. So he started from the New Testament. Because he reasoned that the little boy's mind, that if you have two books, one is old, one is new, I think I should read the newer one first. But of course, because the Holy Spirit led him anyway, all right, we understand that there's nothing old, there's nothing new, okay? Everything is new if your eyes are open. Everything is old if your eyes are closed, okay? If your heart is closed, the book of Revelation is closed. Even the words of Jesus will be closed. Epistles of Paul will be closed if your heart is closed, okay? But that's not part of the main thing. What I'm bringing out is that he started reading. And he read until he get to that famous Mark chapter 11. Let's make a long story short. And he got healed. The point I'm making is that healing was God's idea, not his own. He discovered the will of God. That's what they call prayer of what? Faith. It was God's idea. I read the same testimony from Derek Prince. He read the Bible. In fact, he was sick. He had left the matter. Doctors can't do anything. I'll manage myself. Until some people heard of him, young soldier, Christian. All right, let's come. Let's pray with him. They prayed with him. And the spirit of prophecy came upon the car they were in. They were inside a small car. And somebody prophesied, spoke in other tongues, and that person interpreted. And that interpretation said to him, consider the work of the cross. And I can't remember the exact words next now. That's complete in his scope, you know, total in his, something like that. The work is complete. So he left that place, he was still sick. But that ignited something in him, that the work of the cross has taken care of sickness. So he began to read his Bible. He's different from Ken Hagin. He started from Genesis. He said, does God want healing? He started reading from Genesis, painting every portion that had to do with healing. He discovered that the whole Bible is full of it. Ah, so God wants me healed. How do I take it? My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Don't let it depart from your heart. Keep it in the midst of your eyes. Say, for their life to those who find them, and medicine or health or healing to all their flesh. That's verse 22, Proverbs chapter 4, 20 to 22. He says, is that so? So what did he start doing? He would read his Bible, and he would eat his meals and read his Bible. Because he said, when you take medicine, when you eat, you take medicine with food. It's medicine to all their flesh. So he started taking it with meals. 3 times a day, we eat and read his Bible. After 2 months of doing that, what doctors could not cure disappeared. What did Abraham say to God? What do you give me? Finish it for me. I didn't hear you well. To have a son was not Abraham's idea. It was God's idea. It was not Abraham's idea. Abraham said, what do you give me? Seeing that this other one is concluded, what will you use to compensate me? Because who said it's concluded? He said, indeed, you will bear a son. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't, you know, I like Mary Kay's story. There's a chapter in her book. The book is titled Miracles Happen. And that chapter is titled, You Can't Outgive God. So I modified it to, You Can't Outthink God. You can't plan better for your life than God has a plan. It's for you to discover what his plan. And when you discover it, you kneel down and reinforce it. Father God, I see this, so do it. No, just go to tell him, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Abraham. Abraham didn't go to meet God, say, God. Many of us think that Abraham said, God, give me a son. That was Anna. That's Anna's prayer. That's not Abraham's prayer. That's Anna's prayer. Abraham's prayer was, let's leave that side. What do you give me now? God said, who said anything about? There's one woman I read her book long ago too. Testimony. Beautiful. The book is titled please love me. Very interesting story. See, as a young believer, my faith was shaped by stories. We read books. I read Kenneth Hagin. I read all his books. We read all that men, A.W.A. Kenyon. We read those people, Casey Price. We read all of them. I read Chambers later. Also J. Smith. But the things that shaped my life, my brethren, stories. Stories. Abba. Stories. So I read this book titled Please Love Me. This girl had a husband, or is it boyfriend, a husband? One crazy guy, Sha, one Amobu, please, young ladies, don't marry a man that smokes. Even if it is cigar, not the cigar. Cigarettes. That's why they take that. One day one sister come meet me, she needed advice. By the time she finished, said the guy smokes more. I said, what do you mean by smokes more? Cigarettes, said, no, not cigarettes. I said, what? You know what they call wee wee? My secondary school used to call him Mukuye. He said they use Mukuye. I said, eh? And me are here. You, we are here talking. Says the nice guy. I said, lie, in Jesus' name is not nice. How can a nice man? Young ladies, I'm telling you, I don't care how nice he is. You know, some men, they are made of the evil spirit. You know what I mean by made of evil spirit? On your bed, they are the first to call you. They are made of evil spirits. I'm telling you. Your bed, they are the first to call you. They bring the best cake. If you call, my credit is about to finish. They just wire 5K and they still call you back. They kill you with kindness. Like one guy said in one movie. They kill you with kindness. Young lady, if you see any man like that, it's a fraud. Such behaviors are learned after 10 years of marriage. True or true? You can't be a young single man and you know all these things. Who taught you? A guy is like that and he doesn't follow you to church. In fact, not follow you to church. He doesn't lead you to church. If he's following you to church, he's not a good candidate. Following you to church. You did front, you did for back. No, I'm not grill. Hey, ladies, you hear me? What did I say? I'm not grill. The man must be in front. Not that now you go call and say, are you ready? Shall I come and pick you? Eh? A bad thing is a bad thing. Kala la kolo. Kolo lo kala. You've not heard that before. A bad thing is a bad thing. You shall not marry a man that's following you to church. You follow him to church. How nonsense is that? Can I finish my message, Joe? Now, so this girl, go marry Amobo. That's what I'm talking about. The guy they use, small. Now, so he started to small, small. So one day, he became big, big. She now made up my mind that she was leaving. So you know what the guy did? She separated. He now went one day, he came to carry her. They wanted to talk to her. She didn't know she entered the car. You know what the guy did? The guy was driving, said he has thought about it. That this life is very terrible. That what they need to do is to die. So he came to carry her so that two of them can die. The guy knew there was trouble. He started racing the car, then turned, faced the wall, and hit it at full speed. When I told you not to marry somebody with a smoke, where do you think I was going? That's where the Jesus was going. While he was talking, and he was talking to her very calmly, like they are going somewhere important, said that this life is not worth living. They should just die. So he has come to carry her so that they can just all die. Two of them just die. And he was talking like he was going full speed with the vehicle. The next thing he turned, faced the wall, and crash the car. Now, the funny thing is that there's a human reflex. When a car is about to crash, you swing away from your side. So, he escaped unhurt. But every single bone in her body was broken. Every single bone that could break, broke. They thought she was dead. When the ambulance arrived, they were surprised she was still breathing. He was knocked out briefly, then he got up and walked away. And left her in the wrecked car there. Ambulance came, picked her up. To her own surprise, she did not die. But she was in hospital for very long. Now, why am I telling her story? So, one day, I think it was Christmas or something. I know the way it is. It was difficult to get somebody to stay, no nurses to stay. No, I think where they were. Make a long story short, one nurse volunteered to stay with her. And that one just came in later at night to tell her, look, I'm supposed to be somewhere, but something like my spirit or Holy Spirit or God said I should wait behind and look after you. So let me tell you about that God. She couldn't talk. She had tracheostomy tube. She was broken. So the nurse preached to her, asked her to give her life to Christ. She couldn't talk, but in her mind, she agreed. And the nurse prayed with her and disappeared, and she never saw the nurse again. But that was the beginning of her faith walk. What am I telling the story? She began to recover bit by bit. So they now told her that she has to learn to walk all over again. So one day she went for physiotherapy. You know the way it is. So they were trying to get her to walk and all of that. At a point in time, she just said, she dropped her frame or the crutches and said, I'll never be able to walk with this. And she had a voice so strong. Who said anything about crutches? That's what I'm telling the whole story. So this priest said to her, who said anything about crutches? And she knew what that meant. They're not going to walk with crutches. Do you know, at the end of the day, she recovered her whole body 100%. That's how I remember the story. So that day, she was just, when she fell down, you know, she was just dejected. She just heard the voice of the Holy Spirit said, who said anything about crutches? The plan is not for crutches. The plan is for full recovery. You are going to recover 100%.
Amen.
That sight, you will recover 100%.
Amen.
Those legs will recover 100%.
Amen.
That heart will recover 100%.
Amen.
That brain had a stroke, it will recover
100%. Amen.
Every bit of memory will be recovered.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, God thinks better for you than you can ever think for yourself. Bow down your head and claim that. Say, Lord, I know you think better things for me than I can never think for myself. You think better things concerning me. Lord, give me the faith to understand. Give me the faith to walk by it. Because you are thinking better things concerning me than I can ever think about myself. Very important. Please, you need a moment to pray. Say, Lord, I believe. Say, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe that you have thought of greater things, better things for me than I can ever think about myself. Say, Lord, help me to understand. Give me the stories. No, I was telling you earlier, I read stories. Oh, they built my life. Read stories. The Holy Spirit breathes upon those stories. Say, Lord, give me my stories. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. As I pay attention to these stories, there are thoughts. The thoughts you have for me, they are too great. That's what David said. If you read Psalm 139, he said, if I were to number them, Abba. He said, those thoughts are marvelous. Let me just read that to us. Very important. Give the Lord thanks for it. Say, Father God, I know, I believe. I believe, Lord, help me to understand. Help me to know. Help me to rest. Say, Father God, help me. Help my unbelief. Need to pray that prayer. Lord, help my unbelief. Oh, the thoughts are abundant. How did David say it? He said in verse 17 of Psalm 139, how precious also are your thoughts towards me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they will outnumber the sand. God has thought of every fine detail. Many times in my life, I've seen it. I'm asking God for something. He gives me something far better than I even thought about, than I planned. Oh, give the Lord thanks. Okay, let me just read that for you. He said, how precious also. Let me read. He said, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. Give the Lord thanks for that. Say, Father, I thank you for the thoughts that outnumber the sand. Say, Lord, I thank you for those thoughts that indeed outnumber the sand. Say, Lord, I thank you for those thoughts that indeed outnumber the sand.